MMA Roadshow, episode number 439. My name is John Morgan, and Cold Coffee is not with me right now because he is back home in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it was cool this weekend. I don't know if the temperature's cranked back up. We got a tropical storm Hillary kind of cooled things off in Las Vegas a little bit. That was nice. But me, I am in New York City. More specifically, I'm at the theater at Madison Square Garden. That's right. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, the PFL playoffs are unfolding around me. The main card has just gotten underway. And Biagio Ali Walsh just registered a victory that he apologized for afterwards and say, hey, I think that was an early stoppage. Now, if you watch the action, I'm going to be honest with you. I really didn't think it was that early of a stoppage, especially when you consider the fact that he is an amateur. Now, I know he's very highly touted and highly promoted amateur, but he is an amateur nonetheless. And in fact, they actually have to bring in a second set of officials. The ISKA oversees those rather than the New York State Athletic Commission officials. So, I mean, those are judges and referees that are trained specifically to be calling amateur fights. And obviously, I've caught a lot of amateur fights in Las Vegas with Tough Enough. They're now on Fight Pass. They're doing program, but it was a strictly amateur show for a long time. And, you know, the referees, the officials, they're going to be a little bit quicker on the trigger just because, you know, for the most part, I understand Biagio Ali Walsh is a very high-level amateur. But for the most part, you're talking about guys that have to go back to work and have other stuff going on. And so you kind of are a little bit quicker on the trigger. But I really didn't have that big of an issue with it, to be honest with you. So I thought it was pretty cool of Biagio Ali to actually apologize after. The crowd definitely loved it, man. They cheered. He's like, look, let's be honest, that was an early stoppage, and the crowd was loving it, man, even though they were booing the announcement. So he played it cool. You know, normally a fighter in that situation will say, oh, well, you know, it's not my decision to make. I just go to the referee stops. That's pretty much the typical canned response. But, man, for him to be like, yo, I thought that was an early stoppage, I thought it was kind of cool of him, even if I disagree. You know, I didn't really have a problem with it. It certainly played well to the crowd, so good on Biagio Ali Walsh. The playoffs are just about to get underway here at the PFL, and it's funny, right? A Wednesday night show, we always sit down and do the shows on Wednesday, so I thought, huh, should I wait till after the card and kind of do it as like a half episode where we're recapping the PFL? And then I thought, you know what? What if I just do it right during the middle of the show? How about that? So right now, I'm a goofball sitting on press row with a headset on, talking to myself. I'm sure people are looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? But that's what we're doing to bring you the show. It's been an interesting week here in New York. So I did not make the Friday show last week. I'll just talk about, first of all, the theater here in Madison Square Garden. I was here last year for the World Championship, and which, of course, today was announced that that'll be in Washington, D.C. this year. So I'll probably try to make it out there for that one, too, to be honest with you. I kind of like that Thanksgiving Friday as an opportunity to bring the family with me, too, you know, Washington, D.C. I've actually never done all the Washington, D.C. stuff, all the sites and, you know, history and all that. I've never done it, so I might want to take my wife and son out there and make that a fight week and a little vacation as well. But was here last year for the show and the arena. You know, I always talk about this is the venue that the USC actually uses for press conferences and stuff when they're out here, is this theater. And the crowd is always rowdy, right? I mean, it's always just packed, and there's something special about a New York crowd, man. They're yelling at people and heckling them and that sort of stuff, but it's always a good crowd. So I wasn't here on the Friday show because I flew back to Las Vegas. Actually, my dad and my stepmom were in Las Vegas, so I went back to go see them to see family, right? I don't get to see them very often, so I went back to that, and that's one reason I wasn't in Boston. And then I came back in here on Monday. I was a little bit worried with this Wednesday show that they were going to have some problems filling this thing out. But it's packed in here. It is absolutely packed. I mean, the main card, like I said, underway right now. I would say early prelims, probably like, you know, 30, 40, 50% in the early prelims. And by the later prelims, it was full and ready to go. So they got a pretty good crowd here in New York. You know, now again, I don't know. They don't really release their ticket sales, so I don't know if there's a lot of comps here. They sold all these. To be honest with you, I didn't even see what the prices were. I probably should have taken a look at that. But it's packed out in here. It's got a good feel to it. You know, my chief concern with the PFL, or my chief complaint, it's probably the same as you guys if you watch it, is the pacing, right? I feel like the broadcast just needs to be sped up. It's so long. There's so much time between fights. I will say here in person, it doesn't feel that bad. You know, they got a DJ playing in between. They've got visually, they got a lot going on, man. There's boards everywhere and graphics, and it's kind of wild, man. They even have like where they're playing on some screens, like some commercials, like during the fights themselves. But there's just always something going on. So I will say, in house, I will admit the pacing does not feel that bad, and I wonder if maybe, and I'm just shooting here in the dark, I wonder if maybe that's why they don't feel pacing is a concern. Because they're all here, right? All the PFL executives, employees, they're here. They're experiencing it in person, and maybe they don't realize how long the broadcast kind of drags on. But I know when you're watching the broadcast, and I think maybe some of it's the repetitive elements, or I don't know what it is, but it just does feel a little bit long. So I'd like to see them change that. Maybe that's something they can dial in for next season. Obviously, this is the next to the last show. But I will say, in person, it's a good feel. We got Solomon Renfro walking to the cage right now. He's got a tough task on his hand tonight, man. This is a very, very tough matchup for him. I've always liked Solomon Renfro. He came through the CFSC, obviously. You know I just got love for my CFSC people, but Solomon Renfro's got some hands. You know, he can throw hands. Normally fights at 155, so he's fighting up a division. That's certainly not going to play his favor. And then, he's facing Magomed Karamov, who is an absolute killer, one of the most veteran guys in the PFL. And seeking another championship opportunity. So tough assignment for him. But yeah, in-house it doesn't feel like, but I really would like to see them speed up the pacing on the broadcast. I think that would help the product tremendously for watching it on television. But in the house, it's been good. Prelims, if you didn't catch the prelims, showcase fights, none of the tournament fights. You had John Caldone picking up a win. This is the thing that said, Michelle Montague picked up a win. The youngster, Alex Pergande, who looks like a potential star in the making. But you also had a couple of Saudi fighters on there as well that both picked up victories. So two fighters from Saudi Arabia, I think you can expect to see more of that moving forward. They've got some investment partners out there in Saudi Arabia that are helping fund some of the growth and the expansion. They want to have the Middle East series ready to go for next year. I think that's a given. That one and I think one other might be done next year. I think that's still kind of up in the air a little bit. Obviously, they got PFL Europe that's going to be concluding soon. They've got a big card in Paris coming up, and then they go to Dublin. So, I really do like where the PFL is at, man. I think that international expansion, I said from the beginning, hard to pull off because, man, it's basically multiple different operations, right? So hard to do. But I think if you can swing it, it really ends up being a big deal for them because now you've got a localized product. It's in prime time. I feel for you guys. Fans around the world, UFC fans, in Europe watching fights at 4 in the morning and 5 in the morning. I mean, that's crazy, right? It's almost a miracle that they built the fan base that they have by doing shows that are like that. They're in the middle of the night. So pretty cool stuff, I think, that they're trying to do here. And I think it's going to help them be successful, man. I really, really do. I don't necessarily see them overtaking the UFC or anything like that, but I don't think they've ever really tried to. If you hear these guys talk about it, they're like, hey, listen, if anything, MMA fans are underserved. You know what I mean? You've got, 40? If you just look at the UFC, obviously the highest level of sport, and you think, well, okay, they do what, like 40, 42 cards a year? Okay, what other sport do you only have 40 or 42 dates to look at, right? I mean, you've got baseball, you're playing 162 games. Basketball, you're playing, 82, I think, in basketball and hockey as well. Then, of course, we're talking about all the different teams. So there's so much to pick from and so much to choose from that, their argument is that for MMA fans, the fan base is underserved, if anything, so we think we can be a comparable product. And to be honest, I think they can. I think that's good, I don't think they're profitable yet, but I think they're certainly moving in the right direction. And, of course, the update everybody's looking for, what's the deal with Bellator, I can tell you from having multiple conversations. And it's been a fun week, because I did travel back to Vegas, but obviously I spent about the better part of a week out here, and so I've gotten to see a lot of the employees and hang out and talk. And, it really does seem like nobody knows exactly what's going on. They kind of think it's going to happen, but nobody really knows. Is it definitely happening? Is this for sure done? Is this, how's it going to work? So it still seems kind of very up in the air, but it does feel like things are moving in that direction and that there's going to be some kind of an acquisition merger type situation here. Between PFL and Bellator, but I'm interested to see how that plays out as well, because they can only have so many athletes on their roster. Because what's the big thing you're getting with Bellator, right? You're getting their roster. I mean, obviously their library is big too. You're going to get all that. So that allows for shoulder programming, and if you want to have your own you know, fight pass type product or whatever like that. You got a bunch of archival footage on there. I mean, so that's worth something. That's a tangible asset. But, you know, I don't think Bellator has the name power of, like, a UFC or something like that, of course. So what you're really getting is the roster, right? You're getting the athletes. But I'm intrigued to see how that plays out because you don't necessarily have the ability to have the whole roster. And I guess you probably don't want all of them anyway, but, you know, there's only, what, 10 athletes per division each year? And then I guess, you know, I guess maybe you have some alternates and things like that available. So there are a couple more spots, but, you know, nobody wants to really just be an alternate. They want to be booked and they want to be competing. So I'm going to be interested to see how it plays out. I mean, we don't, you know, how much money does that cost them to do that? I mean, does it put the company in some type of financial peril where you're overextended to get those names and then you don't necessarily know and you can't utilize them all, right? You got to end up releasing some. I guess, you know, you could send some to the regional organizations as well, but I'm sure anybody that comes in is going to want to be on the global roster competing for the $1 million, not competing for the 100 grand, right? So I don't know. I'm very interested in it to see how it works and what happens. And again, that is if it gets done. It's nothing set in stone yet, but it does feel like they're moving in a good direction for the PFL. So yeah, that's kind of the update on the BFL. It's been good. It's been an entertaining card tonight. And it's been fun being out here for a week. I'm about ready to get back home. I've had about enough of New York for now. But it's been a good time. It's been a good time. Playoffs still to unfold here right now. Magomed Karimov and Solomon Renfro are getting underway here inside the theater at Madison Square Garden. You know, I've always kind of wanted to do this. And it's not really like a live fight companion because we're recording it and I'll release it later. But still, it's kind of fun. Nonetheless, do want to give a shout out to Ben the Bane Davis, who actually just walked by me in my position on press row here. He was kind enough to join the show last week, and he actually agreed to join the show again this week. And we were going to tape it in the afternoon, but I had a little lunch meeting come up that I wasn't able to do, so I had to I got a pat on the back there. Somebody didn't realize I was talking. I think it was Lauren Mack, PR man Lauren Mack there. But yeah, so Ben Davis had agreed to hang out and do another episode, and then I ended up getting a lunch date, a little meeting there that I went to, and so we had to reschedule them. But shout out to him for agreeing to do it. I know he's a busy guy, man. He's booking a lot of dates, and sounds like maybe got another fight coming up and all kinds of stuff. So good on him. I guess as the PFL action is unfolding here, we're still kind of processing the launch of the Sugar era. It's been fun to really, the buzz. I mean, obviously, everybody out here is focused on the PFL product and talking about that. But everybody here is fight fans, too. You know, they watch the other stuff as well. It's not like sacrilege to bring up the UFC brand or anything like that. They're all a bunch of fight fans, and they all watch fights as well. And everybody was talking about Sean O'Malley, man. Sean O'Malley. And, of course, obviously, there's some ties up here with the local media and that sort of thing with Aljamain Sterling as well. You know, everybody was just kind of lamenting the loss for Aljamain, but also praising Sean O'Malley for the performance he put in. I actually, watched it on TV with my family, which was super cool. We got to watch it. I had my dad and my son alongside me. All three of us were watching it together. So that's the first time we've ever all sat down and watched a fight together. So that was kind of cool for me. But I was just blown away. You know, talked about it on the NF episode this past week. Shout out to everybody that supports us over there at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. But I was just blown away by the performance. And it's been fun to see since all the little videos and memes that he's putting up and, you know, answering the stack of money to talk to Dana, you know, the wave into the fans and all this stuff, man. I mean, the guy really is a star, man, and he gets entertainment. And so a big win for him. And, man, you know, when I sat down to do that NF episode, I didn't realize because it was immediately afterwards that the UFC put the fight out right away, put the finish out right away on all the social media, right, blew it up, put it out everywhere. Which just goes to show you know, how much they believe in him as well and his potential and his future and what he's capable of doing, right? I mean, that they're willing to share that. And it's an interesting decision. You know, normally they keep those things under wrap because they're trying to sell pay-per-views. I mean, they're trying to get people to pay to see it, you know. But I'm going to be really intrigued to see if that's a trend moving forward or it was just simply a one-off with Sean O'Malley. I tend to think it was just a one-off with Sean O'Malley and, you know, they want to rocket ship this guy right up the charts and make sure that everybody saw it, make sure that, you know, everybody knows what happened all around the world. But I'd be interested to see if they do kind of trend in that direction and aren't so protective of the finishes in the immediate aftermath, right? Like, I've always wondered, I mean, how many people really go back and buy a pay-per-view the next day or afterwards? I mean, that's the reason live sports is such an in-demand commodity for all the broadcast partners, is because that's how you get people to tune in, because you want to watch things live. Once you know the result, are you really selling that many pay-per-views after the fact? So I've always wondered if maybe they should move in that direction and just go ahead and put it out. I mean, certainly I'm not in support of a piracy or illegal stream or anything like that, but I mean, once it's done, it's done, you know? So interesting to see. Now, the big question is going to be, of course, what direction they go with them. And I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see all that. I said the night of, and I still think, I think Chito Vera is the fight to make. You know, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, doesn't Aljamain deserve an immediate rematch? And he does, but, you know, he's come out and said as well, he needs a break. He needs some time off. You know, he needs some rest mentally, physically, heal up from some injuries, that sort of thing. And when he comes back, I think he absolutely deserves an instant rematch. You know, I don't think he has to do anything to earn that. You know, I think he's already earned that through what he's accomplished throughout his career. So I don't think he really needs to win another fight to come back. That's just my humble opinion. I think even if he takes some time off, he takes a year away and he comes back, I think his first one can be for the title. I've seen Merab Dvalishvili out there saying, hey, I can be ready in December. Because I think, you know, I think Sean O'Malley brought up December for a reason. You know, everybody knows that Las Vegas show needs a headliner. And it was supposed to be Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. And we all kind of said, look, that's probably not going to happen because of the whole USADA situation and all that. And I certainly would support Merab Dvalishvili being in there as well. I mean, that guy has been the number one contender in waiting for a long time. Respectfully said that, you know, will not fight my man Aljamain Sterling. We're more than training partner. We're brothers. And I like that, man. I really do. I know the UFC doesn't always enjoy that because you got a number one contender that's not wanting to fight for the title and he's knocking off other contenders along the way. So I get why they're not a fan of that situation as business operators. But I like it. You know, it's one thing to be like, well, I trained with the guy once, now I don't want to fight him. It's another thing to be like, we've grinded in the trenches for years and I don't want to fight him because of that. I can absolutely respect that. So he certainly deserves the opportunity as well. I just feel like if you're looking for pay-per-view sales, which you are, right? I mean, if it's almost like I would, if Merab is fighting it, and I'm a Merab Dvalishvili fan, but I think if that was going to be maybe on like ABC or something where you're not worried about sales, he's absolutely the deserving number one contender. I mean, he's number one in the rankings, right? He is number one in the rankings. So he's the number one contender. So he deserves that. But there's that history, right? I mean, we know it's not just about rankings when it comes to the UFC. It's about entertainment and it's about selling storylines and getting fan interest in it. And I really just feel like the history between Sean O'Malley and Chito makes that the one that's most compelling in the immediate time frame, right? And, you know, Sean O'Malley's already trying to start to sell it a little bit. Certainly it interests him as well. By the way, Solomon Renfro here battling back to his feet. Magomed Kerimov, he's giving him a bit more of a run than he thought. So I think that's the fight you make. I don't know what that does to Merab, though. I mean, I would certainly give Merab next. But is Merab going to wait and see what Aljamain wants to do first, if Aljamain wants to come back? Because if Merab, you know, finds his way to win the title in the meantime, things change. Things definitely change. So interesting times, man. Great depth at bantamweight division. Still got Henry Cejudo out there as well. So an absolute whole lot going on and a lot of big options on the table at 135 pounds. So we'll see, man. We shall see. Sean O'Malley, certainly a star, certainly moves the needle. So we'll see which matchup comes next for him. In the meantime, the UFC is in Singapore this weekend. A fight card that's going to be a little bit tough to watch live. I think this is one you might not be watching live unless you're willing to wake up very early, especially in Pacific time. So I guess not that bad if you're on the East Coast maybe and you want to get up and watch it. Main card will be at 8 a.m. Eastern. Prelims would actually be at 5 a.m. Eastern. So if you're on the East Coast, maybe you'll at least catch the main card, right? You wake up, fights are already on. Some good fights on here. Obviously, anytime they're overseas, I think it kind of flies under the radar a little bit because you don't get quite as much media coverage coming from it. the media stuff is done at kind of off hours, so it doesn't necessarily go into the news cycle the way everything else does. I know Oscar from the Mac Life, you know, our good friend Hot T that goes to a lot. I know he didn't make the trip over there. I don't believe MMA Junkie or MMA Fighting sent anybody either. So probably going to fly under the radar a little bit. But, of course, you know about the main event, Max Holloway versus Chan Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie. Big fight there. Big one at featherweight. Obviously, Max Holloway, a fan favorite. The Korean Zombie, always a fan favorite as well. Max Holloway, a massive favorite in there, minus 800, which is crazy, right? But it's probably accurate, to be honest with you, especially at this stage of their career. You know, it's just kind of late in the game for the Korean Zombie, even the legend that he is. But it's a fight that both these guys wanted, right? Because I did see a lot of people saying, why would you do that to Zombie? Why are you putting him in there? Like, what do you hate the guy? But, you know, this is a fight he wanted. It's he's calling it a career, and, you know, this is a fight he wanted to have before he hung it up. So I'm glad they put it together. I think it might end up being a little sad to watch, if we're being honest. I think Max Holloway probably will put it to him pretty well. So it might be a little bit sad to watch, especially if you've been old school WEC fan, you know, been following the Zombie throughout his career. Light heavyweight co-main event between Anthony Smith and Ryan Spann. Big one there between top 10 competitors. And then one that just looks like fun on paper, man. Giga Chikadze and Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres. Always happy to see those guys compete, man. Both of them are very, very entertaining. And then a big one as well, Aaron Blanchfield versus Tyler Santos. That's a big one at flyweight, right? Number 3 versus number 4. Certainly going to be some title implications there. And I feel like that one's definitely flying under the radar, but that's a big one. Blanchfield's on an absolute roll. Tyler Santos, I kind of thought should get an immediate shot for the title fight, which he was ready to go, and didn't play out that way. So now she's got an incredibly tough assignment here. I guess maybe, you know, the fact that Shevchenko lost the belt, that probably changed the desire to give her an immediate rematch anyway after what was a really close fight. And maybe it's just not quite as appealing with Alexa Grasso. So I guess I get that, but it's a big one. And Blanchfield's on a roll as well. So she's, I think, 5 straight now in the UFC. That's a big one. That's a big one. Title implications there. And, of course, then you got the championship fight coming up next week. So we shall find out more about it. So, again, I don't think I'm going to watch this one live. If I'm being honest with you, I'll catch this one on replay. I'm not waking up at 2 a.m. Pacific time. I certainly can't stay up that late from 2 to 10 or whatever it is. So I'll probably catch that one after. And actually, my kid's got a jiu-jitsu competition on Saturday as well. So go out there and keep an eye on him and support the team. So looking ahead to a little bit of action in Singapore. Looking ahead right now to the third round here, Solomon Renfro versus Magomed Karimov. Fight that's already gone longer than I think a lot of people thought. You know, Solomon Renfro, he knew. He said, look, I know everybody's counting me out here, man, but I believe in myself. You know, I know what I can do here. We'll see if he can make something special happen here in the third round. And we'll get back and talk a little bit more about what's happening and unfolding here at PFL.
Saturday, August 26th, the UFC returns to Singapore. Max Blessed Holloway looks to use his elite boxing to turn back fan favorite, the Korean Zombie. Don't miss UFC Fight Night, only on ESPN+.
All right, welcome back inside the theater at Madison Square Garden, where the PFL playoffs are continuing on. And a little bit of a spoiler alert here. Solomon Renfro did not make something special happen. He comes up short via decision. Was always a tough assignment for him. I mean, number one, just a quality competitor. Then you add in the fact that he's fighting up a weight class as well. It is tough for him, and I'm props to him for taking the opportunity. And my understanding is part of him taking this, you know, on short notice up a weight class was that he will come back next year in the lightweight season. So he'll get an opportunity to compete at his natural weight class back in the season, have another crack at $1 million. So didn't get that opportunity now, but if you're a Solomon Renfro fan and you're looking forward to what might come next, I believe he'll be in the season next year. So you got to take a shot. So Magomed Karimov advances to the $1 million finals. Well, he will be facing Sadabu C, who also was able to pick up a decision win. This a split decision win over Carlos Leal. Very, very interesting situation. UFC. I guess UFC didn't care about anything. But the PFL may be avoiding a little bit of a weird situation there, right? You know, that it's one thing I think they're trying to still dial in and make sure they feel good about is, you know, these weight misses and how you handle that. And what they've decided to do during the blast is that you lose a point. But that point loss is not reflected in the official result, but rather it is reflected in how the tournament moves on. So it's kind of a weird deal, right? Because you could technically have a fighter win 29-28 across the board, and he would be announced as the winner. But on the promotions cards, they would lose a point, and it would be a draw. And in that situation, the fighter that made weight moves on in the draw. So it's a bit of a unique situation, and it can be confusing. We've seen that in PFL Europe, but we don't necessarily haven't seen that happen here. It almost just unfolded here, but instead Sadabusi gets the split decision win, so that doesn't become an issue. Now, the fight was not the greatest by any stretch of the imagination. Leal started out very aggressive, as you expected him to be, and it was cool. He's fun to watch when he's doing that. He's made it. Kind of that's his trademark style, right? He's coming at you, and he was being very, very aggressive, and it was good to watch. And then over time, it really just kind of slowed down. At first, Sadabusi was really dealing well with the takedown attempts, and he was defending well. And then the second round, he got put on his back, and he was stuck there for a while. And I think Carlos Leal, that's the round that I gave. I did have it for Sadabusi as well. Carlos Leal spent a lot of time in dominant position. He didn't really do a whole lot with the position. So that was a bit odd to see. He stayed in side control for a lot and didn't do a whole lot of striking from there. Perhaps it was the wise decision because as soon as he moved him out, Sadabusi, that's when he bucked and rolled and escaped and got back to his feet. You know, there's that moment when you're trying to shift into the mount position where there's an escape opportunity, and he took advantage of it. So it was kind of weird. I was kind of wondering why Leal was staying in side control the whole time, and maybe that's where he needed to stay. But Sadabu was just a little bit too patient that round. Now, third round, a lot of clinch work, but again, Carlos Leal was moving inside. He was initiating the clinch. He was controlling positioning, but it wasn't necessarily inflicting any damage in those spots. And so because of that, you know, the little opportunity that Sadabusi did to strike, that was the one that earned him the round. He almost got the big knockout as well, but he threw the spinning kick again. It did not land, but he almost had something spectacular. So instead of something spectacular, he ends up with something just kind of, you know, a ho-hum type win. But a ho-hum type win gets you an opportunity to win $1 million, and that's what it's all about, right? That's what you're ultimately going for. So a little short on entertainment value there, but now you've got a final that is two former champs in Sadabusi and Magomed Karimov. See, of course, looking for a second in a row. So two guys gunning for $1 million a second time around. So that'll be an interesting storyline to plot there. So I tell you what's funny is these fights have been folding on. Ed Davis, if you remember the name, the guy that lost to Biagio Ali Walls, he's become like the star of the house, man. This guy's having some cocktails and walking around. He made some fans tonight. You can see, man, there's a lot of people running up and taking pictures with them and giving him words of encouragement. So that's been kind of fun to watch that all unfold here. He made some new fans tonight, even in a losing effort, right? So maybe it worked out for everybody there. Biagio Ali Walsh picks up the win. And you know, Ed Davis makes some new fans. I've also seen Emma Kasanga and I walking around here as well. Of course, he's going to be gunning for $1 million as well, but you know, you always hear about what a nice guy Imp is. Check this out. I think he's okay with me saying this. I ran to him the other night, and he's walking around with photography, like nice gear, like nice body, nice lens, and he's taking pictures. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool. What are you shooting? And he said, I thought this was the coolest thing. He's taking shots without people knowing, like candid shots of the people working, of all the staff, like not telling them, not having them pose, but just taking shots of them as they work, of all the staff. And he's planning on putting an album together for them. And he said, you know, my thinking was they all spend all their time and hard work and everything to put us on TV, and nobody's really, like, featuring them. So I want to take pictures of them and kind of let people see them. I thought that was, like, the nicest thing I'd ever heard in my life, you know? That's just the kind of guy Ibn Kasangana is, man. He's shooting that kind of stuff, so it's pretty cool to hear. And another thing he told me that I thought was super cool, we were just talking about, you know, being in the PFL and you know, how he likes it versus, you know, his expectations or whatever. And he had the greatest line. He said, you know, I like it here. He's like, at the UFC, I had to ask for fights. Here, I can earn them. And number one, I thought that was wise. But number two, I was like, Man, you just nailed the marketing angle, dude. Like, you need to go to you need to go to the management right now and make sure that they're aware that that's a tackle. Because I think that's the best I've heard anybody sum it up, man. You know, I think before it was like where title fights are earned, not given, or something like that. I think they used that at one point. But I was like, man, this dude just nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So, Impica Sangane, he is a super nice guy. A photographer in training, and a marketing executive as well. What do you know? That's been a little bit of stuff that's happening behind the scenes here at PFL. Well, speaking of going for two championships and two consecutive ones at that, Olivier Aubin-Mercier has punched his ticket into the lightweight finals with a second round stoppage. TKO finish over Bruno Miranda. Fairly competitive opening round, and then the Canadian gangster drops him with a straight shot in the second round, gets on top, controlling, and as time is winding down, just starts unleashing a barrage of punches that weren't really just devastating shots, but were clearly just not stopping and landing punches, and eventually the fight was waved off, and Olivier Aubin-Mercier heading back to the finals looking for another $1 million. Pretty cool for him. Man, you look at his record, Olivier Aubin-Mercier, what is that, 9-0 now since he left the UFC? 9 straight victories in the PFL, 9-0, already $1 million in the bank, and on November 24th in Washington, D.C., he'll be trying to get another million. That is pretty cool. Pretty cool to see, man. You look at the losing streak that he had when he left the UFC. I mean, Alexander Hernandez, Gilbert Burns, Armin Sarukian, not a bad little stretch of opponents there. Now 9 straight wins, and Olivier Aubin-Mercier said before this that this was going to be win or lose. This is it for him. He's calling it a career after this. He's tired. He needs some rest. And he said whether he won or not, this was going to be the end of his fighting career. Now, I don't know, man. If there's another million on the table, this season is a grind. Like, anybody will tell you that's gone through it, you know, especially when you go through it multiple times in a row. You know, Kayla Harrison used to openly talk about it, which she's supposed to fight on the finals, by the way, so. Looks like she will get one in. I think that final is going to be a pay-per-view from everything I'm hearing. So she'll be on that card. But she used to just talk about what a physical grind it is. And so it's kind of the pro and con. And Olivier Aubin-Mercier said the same thing. OAM said the same thing in the lead-up to this. He's like, well, it's kind of a blessing and a curse. On the one hand, you know, I'm super busy, and that's nice. But it's also wearing me out, man. It's tough, you know. And he said, I haven't seen my friends in 2 years. You know, I have a constant training. I haven't been able to do anything. Like, I just want to spend some time hanging out with my friends. I haven't been able to do anything. And he's like, he actually kind of joked. He's got that dry humor. He's like, I think they think I'm big-timing them, but I'm not. I just haven't even been able to go do anything because I'm constantly training, resting, recovering, that sort of thing. So, Olivier Aubin-Mercier books his ticket for the $1 million finals once again. And what a retirement gift that would be for him to put an extra million in the bank. He said he actually just bought a house, so he's like, I'm poor again. I could actually use another million. I got myself a place, and so I guess this would be. I guess that was the goal of fighting, and now this will be the retirement option. So we'll see if he can punch his ticket for $1 million this November. Of course, in order to win that $1 million, he's going to have to take out an absolute savage in Cassius Clay Collard, who gets the unanimous decision win 29-28 across the board over Shane Burgos. Exactly how I scored the fight as well. First two rounds for Clay Collard, third round for Shane Burgos. But, I could sit here and talk about this fight all night long. My goodness, thought it was going to be great on paper. Thought it would be a fun fight, and it ended up being even better than that. I mean, it was as advertised. It was the fight everybody wanted to see, and my goodness, it delivered even more than we would have expected. It was kind of wild. Like, Clay came out early, kind of throwing kicks and flashing out the high kicks. Like, okay, maybe he's going to surprise with a little bit of a varied attack, and then very quickly turn to what he's known best for, his boxing, just unbelievable combinations, ripping the body, working up top, great stuff. Meanwhile, Shane Burgos, the leg kicks were nasty. I mean, Clay could hardly stand. Unbelievable, man. Could hardly stand in there, you know, dropping and rolling backwards to stand back up. Unbelievable. End up landing, I think, 178 arm strikes is what he was credited with. Meanwhile, to the Burgos, 49 leg strikes. Unbelievable. 438 total strike. The numbers are insane. I mean, unbelievable fight. And that is going to be one hell of a final. If you did not watch this fight for any reason, if you're not a big PFL consumer, make sure you watch the replay. These two dudes left it all in there. That is all you can ask for. And that is one hell of a championship final with Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Clay might be – he's one of the most exciting – he's definitely the most exciting fighter in the PFL, one of the most exciting in the game. Must-watch TV every single time, and this was as expected. What a hell of a way to wrap up this event here in New York. Now, let's pack up quickly and go talk to Ray Seffo about everything that unfolded.
Wah, 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 wah.
Well, we were supposed to hear from Ray Seffo at this point. That was the plan anyway. But here's how things unfolded, unfortunately. So I ran back to the back after it was over. I mean, listen, you guys heard me. I was literally talking to you guys as the fighters were being announced, as the results of the main event were being announced. And then I threw my stuff together. Didn't even take the time to, like, pack it up nice into my bag. I just kind of threw it all in there and then ran back to the back. Got in there. And Ray Seffo was already talking to the media. It already started, I mean, I didn't dilly-dally on the way back there. I didn't stop and have conversations. Like, that was literally the quickest post-fight to post-fight interview I've ever seen in my life. And so because of that, I couldn't set up my gear. Now, this was the back. I guess this was the downfall of having my gear with me as I was watching from inside the arena, is I didn't have it set up in the back and ready to go. So couldn't get it set up in time. It was already going, so I didn't want to just barge in and drop everything off. So I just kind of folded into the fray there, jumped in with a couple questions here and there, and I thought, you know what? The good thing is I know PFL is shooting this, so I will get the audio from them. No problem. I even went so far as to reach out to the PR team and say, hey, who can I get the audio from? They directed me to a gentleman who was shooting it, and he was like, yep, don't worry. We will get this stuff posted overnight. We'll put it on the website. They have a really cool, I mean, it's really nice. Like, everything's all in one place that they sent to you. So, like, everything from the entire event, from the time that they had open workouts and media calls and everything, it's all in one little Dropbox link, all right? So, like, look, we'll post that tonight. And I was like, but are you going to get to it tonight? Like, tonight? Because I kind of need it. And they're like, yeah, we'll get to it tonight. So, came back to the hotel room, taped the little clothes, right? And then said, well, I'll put this in there. I'll get this edited in there, and we'll be good to go. Once that drops in there, I'll get it all over to Cold Coffee, and everything's good to go. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Now, waited up till about 2 a.m. my time, which is 11 p.m. Vegas time, of course. Cold Coffee, who does the final production and everything, he's like, man, I'm going to stay here as long as I can, but I got to go to sleep. Because I got to get up early because he's processing all the videos that are coming in from Singapore for the UFC event. So he's like, I got to get some sleep because I got an early start. He's like, so unless it comes in by about 11 my time, I'll just check for it in the morning. I was like, ah, that's fair. It's fair. Totally understand. You know, you got your main gig to worry about. Don't worry about this. I'll get it to you as quick as I can. Didn't come by 2 a.m., right? So then I waited up and stayed, and I said, okay, well, here's what I'll do. I went to bed at 2 a.m. also, and then I set my alarm for 4 a.m., to wake up and see if maybe it'd come in by then. No dice. Set my alarm for 6 a.m. to see if maybe it would come in by then. No dice. and now it's a little after 8:30 a.m. and I'm about to have to check out of here and head to the airport and get back home to Las Vegas. And still, no dice. Now, I will say the internet at the hotel here, which I'm assuming everybody, the crew is probably staying here too. It's not the fastest, so maybe they tried to set it and forget it and go to bed, and it just didn't finish uploading. It's still doing it. I don't know. I don't know what the story is. I'm definitely not trying to throw them under the bus because they have been nothing but helpful to me. And we're very genuine in trying to say, you know, we'll get it for you. I'm guessing maybe there were just some logistical issues. So what that means is that my well-intended plan of going deftly into the Ray Seffo audio and then back out for the close, well, that's all been ruined now. And so now the master plan that I had of doing this show as kind of a live recap from inside, it got all kind of messed up. So will I ever try it again? I don't know. I was trying to get a little bit creative, kind of try to do things a little bit different. This was a Wednesday night, and it all blew up in my face. The best intentions all torn apart. Overall, though, listen, I mean, as far as what Ray Sefo was talking about, I mean, pretty standard post-fight stuff. Obviously, he was still beaming over that main event and just talking about what a great opportunity it was. A couple of things that I did ask for him was number one, to get some clarification on this PFLW thing. He didn't give a ton of it. He just said, look, that's kind of what we're using as the branding for the women's divisions. Because I think there was some confusion, and I saw it in the press releases as well, and I think and I noted some people were talking about it on the broadcast last night as well, that there was mention of the PFLW. But really, it just sounds like they're just using that as a way to differentiate their women's divisions. I don't know. It's not. It doesn't sound like it's going to be, at least according to what Ray said. He just said, look, that's just the name that we're using for our women's division. So I guess it's just, you know, some branding, basically. You know, give them a little branding opportunity. But I don't think that there's any intention of making it like, oh, well, that's its own league, or we have women's only shows, or anything like that. Now, if they do get this merger done, they're going to have more women to work with. Although, I'll tell you, there's not a ton of women to work with. If you look at the Bellator rankings, at 145 especially, I think they only go to like number 7. Like, even though they have a top 10, they don't even have 10 athletes to fill it out. So, you know, you're not talking about a ton of contracts. They're a little deeper at 125 for sure. That's, of course, a division the PFL doesn't have anybody there for. So, again, kind of as we talked about, I think if this whole merger acquisition type thing does happen, I think what you will see is more divisions for the PFL. But got to remember, too, for every division you put in, now you're talking about $1 million at the end of it, right? So if you go like, okay, well, we'll just do all the divisions, okay, cool, but now you got to budget those extra million, you know, per division. And that's not cheap. That's not an insignificant amount of money. So still interested. Again, just goes back to, I'm still interested to see how this all plays out. I don't think it's an automatic home run. I don't think it's an automatic failure. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm saying, oh, this will destroy the company or this will save the company. I think it's just going to all see how implementation gets done. So that was one clarification there. Not a lot. And the other thing I was really curious about was, you know, with Savannah Marshall coming in, do you go to Savannah Marshall, Clarissa Shields right away? Is that the fight you put together right away? And he seemed kind of noncommittal on that. And I guess I'm kind of noncommittal on what the best play would be either. You know, I think a lot of MMA fans probably have no clue who Savannah Marshall is, right? Unless you are paying attention to boxing, or maybe you just happened because of Clarissa Shields and her involvement. Maybe you kept up with her outside of it. And if you're not tracking boxing, I mean, it was a highly successful fight between these two. But I don't know if that's enough to get people to want to tune in and really care a whole lot. You know what I mean? Now, Savannah Marshall comes in and starches somebody, you know, if you find a way to, you know, get her a matchup and then you put it together, maybe that's more successful, because then people know what it is and there's a little bit more anticipation for the fight. I don't know what the right answer is. It's such a scary thing. It's such a hard part with promotion, right? Especially when you bring in these athletes, is that if you wait too long, if you're like, well, that fight will always be there, we don't need to go to it right away. Well, what if Savannah Marshall comes in and loses 2 times in the MMA and goes, well, this is, I'm not very, you know, I don't like this. Well, if Clarissa Shields loses again, you know, does it detract? Does it get away from it? Probably so. I've always said, you know, Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz can lose 10 times in a row. You put them together, still going to sell 1 million pay-per-views. But that's a very unique situation. Those two are very unique individuals. You can't do that with everybody. So I'm kind of torn on this one, on what the right player would do. If it was my call, what would I want to do? Would I want to – because at first, you know, I was like, why – they're not going to – just traditional me. I'm like, they're not going to put this fight together right away. They're going to build to this fight. But this is unique because there's no – it's two people that aren't in their primary environment. So do you want to build to that fight or do you just want to put it right away? Because if you build to it, there's no guarantee it happens. There's no guarantee of anything in fighting. But there's definitely a guarantee when you're talking about essentially, I don't want to say newbies, but yeah, I mean, they're new to this, right? That they're going to get through the tests that they need to get to each other. So, interesting situation there for the PFL and what they decide to do. I think that'll all kind of unfold next year. I don't think these two will be on the finals in November, so plenty of time to work that out. So those are kind of the big, I don't want to say news items, but I guess update items that I wanted to hear from Ray Sefo. And then, you know, everybody was talking about the others. Oh, I did ask him as well about the whole weight miss thing that we talked about, the whole point deduction, because, you know, the PFL has evolved the rules, and he said that in the answer, and he said it multiple times. He's like, look, I know it's going to take us 5, 6, 7 years to kind of tweak. I mean, we're building a new format, and sometimes those new formats, we're going to decide, this didn't work the way we thought it was, we want to do this differently, et cetera, et cetera. And for this one, he did say that we're kind of happy where it's at. You know, originally you missed weight and you were in the playoffs. You were out of the playoffs. And then they thought, well, that's a little bit severe because you kind of earned your way into the playoffs. So let's do this. If you miss weight, there's a one-point deduction. You know, I think it's just going to take time for people to get used to it. I kind of think that's fair as well. I mean, gosh, you know, weight misses, not good. And Ray Seffel did absolutely go off. If the audio or video ever emerges, he did go off on Leal as well as DQ from last week, missing weight in the heavyweight fight as well. And, you know, just talked about a lack of professionalism and a lack of commitment to things getting done. So, he blasted him pretty good. So certainly it's not something that they're happy with people missing weight. Obviously Ray, a lifelong fighter, so he's been around combat sports forever. He understands what a key moment that is. He have to make weight. But he also said, I kind of feel bad about just kicking somebody out of the tournament just because they don't make weight. So I think those are the big kind of news items there. The rest of it was just kind of reflecting on the show and talking about Washington, D.C. and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I hate it when my plans don't come together. But I appreciate your patience with us. I mean, listen, we're trying new things sometimes. You know what I mean? If we're in a unique situation, why not try to do something unique? So didn't necessarily pan out to my success tonight, but I guess you take risks, and sometimes they pay off and sometimes they don't. So now it's time for me to get all packed up, head to the airport, and fly home. It's been a fun time in New York, please. And now, unfortunately, I'll kick it back to me thinking that that was Ray. So some of the things I'm going to say next sound dumb now. Such is life. Wah, 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 wah.
All right, that was Ray Seffo updating us on all things PFL. Obviously very happy, very excited Ray Seffo after that incredible, incredible main event. I did not get the first question because I walked back there and they were already going. So that was like the fastest start to a post-fight press conference ever, man. I didn't take that long to pack up my stuff, and I got back there and Ray was already rolling. So I didn't even get to record it on my camera and had to get the audio from the PFL people so that we could use it here on the podcast. So a little bit wild, but certainly got an opportunity to get in there, and Ray was excited. A lot of big things happening. You know, as I was leaving the venue, actually, I ran into Shane Burgos. I didn't talk to him. They were filming some stuff with him. Like, the cameras were still on him, and he was absolutely heartbroken, man. You could see the emotions and the frustration, and like I said, I didn't interrupt to talk because he was, I don't know, I'm guessing it was kind of like a, you know, thrill and agony type thing or whatever, post-fight feature that they're going to do. But, man, you could just see the emotion and the frustration. I think, you know, and I felt like it in real time as well. By the way, I'm back in my hotel room now. I should have shared that. Terrible podcasting here. walk back to the hotel to wrap things up. But, yeah, man, I feel like if he'd stayed on the leg kicks, man, he had that leg gone. He had that leg gone, and he showed great heart, and maybe he was buzzed. I mean, he got dropped, and he rallied, which was incredible, and so maybe he wasn't necessarily thinking clearly, and it was just kind of some instinct or whatever, but I feel like if he had stayed on that leg, Clay was just barely hanging in there and barely able to maintain it, so I feel like that might be, when Shane goes back and reviews this thing and is breaking it down, I think that will probably be his frustration that he didn't stick with the leg kicks. I think he could have finished it. I think Clay was hurting pretty bad, and if he'd have just stuck on it, he'd have won. But I tell you what, I mean, Clay Collard has become one of the most exciting. I know his wife said it in there, but he is such a truly exciting fighter, man. Every fight that he's had here has been great in the PFL. And now he gets the opportunity to compete for $1 million. So what a great opportunity that is for him. And what a great final fight that would be. You heard Ray mention it. They'll add some other things. I said I heard Kayla Harrison's supposed to be there. He mentioned Julia Budd as a possibility. I know Aspen Ladd was here last week as an alternate. Maybe she's an option as well. That's a big name. I mean, if it's Kayla Harrison, you're going to want a big name, right? So, you know, I would think both of those names might be big. You know, you get your another one of your big free agents on there that you brought over. So I'm guessing it's one of those two matchups. Either one of them, both great matchups. So we'll see. We shall see. Overall, entertaining. I'm ready to get home. I got a flight home in the afternoon. I'll actually get to sleep in a little bit. Ready to get back to Las Vegas for a little bit. And obviously, next week, back-to-back CFSC shows, so I'm looking forward to that as well. I will make sure and get with Mr. Cole Coffee next week so we can actually bring his voice back onto the podcast. I know you miss hearing from old Cole Coffee himself, so we'll make sure we get that done. We'll get together on Wednesday, and then I fly out late Wednesday night, I think, so I get there Thursday. And then we've got PFL. my brain's fried. CFFC. I've been doing a lot of PFL lately. We got CFFC on Friday and Saturday from Parks Casino in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. So looking forward to that. And then we got a big sale. I'm going to let you guys know now. I think the grappling event may be finalized soon. So we've got another grappling event coming up real soon. So hopefully I have some big news to break in the very – it's not really my news to break. I'm an employee for CFSC. I'm not a reporter. I'll let them break the news. But we may have some stuff coming up. Anyway, looking forward to getting back to it. Looking forward to getting back to Vegas. We'll put together an and a half episode this week on the Singapore show. Might be a little bit late for all those that support us over there at patreon.com. We definitely appreciate it. Might be a little bit late depending on how the schedule works out. Like I said, my son does have a grappling competition, so – I'm going to go be there for that with him, and then once we get back home, then I'll make sure and record that. But, yeah, we'll work out all the details. You know we're going to deliver it for you. Hopefully you watch tonight. Like I said, for some reason you did not catch this main event, go catch this main event. My goodness. Go watch it again anyway, even if you did catch it. Watch it again anyway, man. These are two dudes that just went out there and threw down, man. How great was that? Great way for the playoffs to wrap up, and then the World Championship on Black Friday, November 24th in Washington, D.C., I think my current plans are to go out there, so I got to make sure that all stays intact, but I'd like to be out there. So I've never taken in Washington, D.C., so everybody's got any good advice on the best way to approach seeing cool stuff in Washington, D.C., because I know there's a lot of it. What's on the to-do list, the must-do list, let me know. But in the meantime, appreciate everybody. Hope you have a great rest of the week, and most importantly, of course, thanks for listening.